Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Well, guys, in order to help keep the service flowing smoothly, I am going to serve as the scripture reader as well as kind of teach through it as we go through the scripture reading. So a little bit different than we normally do. So last week, we were in Luke 24, and we were in the second greatest story, I feel like Luke tells in his gospel letter. The first is obviously the parable of the prodigal son. One of the most powerful stories of who God is and where we stand with him and his love for us just totally paints a great picture. But then, arguably, one of the second greatest, probably the second greatest story in Luke's gospel is where we were last week when Jesus took a walk with two people. And do you remember who they were? Yes, Cleopas and Mary. Yes. So some of you were why did you erase it from the board? Because a couple of weeks ago, we talked to you about what two people? Philip and the Ethiopian, right? So we started at the end, and now we're working our way back to the beginning. And in John chapter 21, we got introduced to these two competitive disciples. I wonder who they were. Peter and John. Okay, all right. So those of you who were here last week understand my slight sarcasm. Because we had a hands raised across the room about who was here last Sunday, but only one person was confident enough to say that they knew we talked about Peter and John. So we are now looking and continuing the story of what was going on in Luke chapter 24. And so with that, let's start in verse 36. And while they were still talking about this, all right, so let me stop. What were they talking about? Let me go back to verse 33. Cleopas and Mary, it's my way of summarizing, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem because what had just happened? Jesus had walked with them through the entire story from Genesis through the Chronicles, through the Psalms, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through Moses, and through David. Like, he walked them through it all, and it's like, this is what I was telling you was going to happen. And then, when he broke the bread, what happened? They knew who he was. And as soon as they knew who he was, he did what? He disappeared. So all that happened. And now, verse 33, they got up and returned, at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them, this is Cleopas and Mary, told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And so while they were still talking about that, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, listen to these words, "Peace be with you." Is this not still applicable for the way Jesus shows up into our living rooms and into our bedrooms and into our automobile when we turn our attention and we realize that he's with us? Because what is true about our life? We are not at peace. We're not at peace. There's too much going on in our hearts and minds, things that we're theologically wrestling with, the things that have happened to people that we love, the circumstances in the world. We are not at peace. And when Jesus shows up, he addresses it right away all the time. I want peace to come to you. And so with that, he goes on to say this. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds?" Also, very appropriate questions for us. Why are we troubled? Why do doubts arise in our minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of protein, of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in the presence, in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Let me show you something. In the matter of two sentences, Jesus showed us what it's going to be like. And he reminded them of everything that he had ever taught them. Now, it's really important that we get this because Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, took the entire chapter of 15 in the first letter to tell them everything that it was strange about Jesus just appearing in their presence, having physical capabilities, but being able to vanish and go places. He talked about the tension of Jesus literally being able to live between heaven and earth. And I'm being careful not to draw this like there's a heaven line and an earth line. If anything, maybe I should draw the line like this, because if you've ever seen the Avengers movies, Thanos just stepped into a reality, right? A hole would open up and he used the power ring or whatever, and he would just literally step in. I want us to view this as literally Jesus being able to go back and forth between heaven and earth without anything, which is what's going to happen here for us in the end when heaven and earth come together. Revelation 20:21 talk about this great union where we're going to get the bodies that we want. And so for just a brief moment, while Jesus is with the disciples and about 500 other people, the book of Acts talks about, witness Jesus. They get a glimpse here of what everything is going to be like for all of eternity when Jesus comes back. And I don't know why I put an end on that, because it's not going to end. But we're getting a chance to see how Jesus had the ability to be both heavenly and earthly at the same time. And so here it goes on, it says, then he opened up their minds so they could understand the scriptures, which would have been Genesis, Chronicles, would have been the Psalms, all the prophecies that were ever given. He's helping them to grasp how it had to be fulfilled through the people of Israel. Everything that took place leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ took place the way that it did because God kept his word. He kept his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He kept his covenant with the nation of Israel. And he fulfilled it all in our Holy Week of how Jesus stepped in and lived and breathed and died and then came back to life again as the true Messiah. He was changing the thinking that the Messiah was only going to benefit Israel. The people that studied their writings and their materials thought that there was going to be this great prophet that was going to come, this Messiah, and defeat all their enemies. And Jesus is like, well, you had it right up until you didn't. He's not going to come and defeat all of your enemies. He's going to defeat the one enemy that has the most power over you that causes all your other enemies, and that's sin. And so when you begin to see this, Jesus is helping them. And he goes on, as Luke ends this, he says, everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, which we know, according to John 17, was the Holy Spirit of God. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now, if you had the opportunity to just sit down and read Luke's gospel as a letter to you, and you didn't break it down like we've been breaking it down, you would have in your mind what happened in Luke chapter 2 at the same time as you're reading Luke chapter 24. Because in Luke chapter 2, Jesus also disappeared for 3 days. His mom was freaking out because he was gone, and she's frantically looking around for him. And his response to her is, oh, you didn't understand? I had to be about my Father's business. Now Luke is ending his gospel telling the disciples, you were freaking out for 3 days. Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? I had to do what I was telling you I was going to do. And I am going to do it. And he did it. And there's such a great and powerful picture of how Jesus could step between heaven and earth and how he could be with them and how he reminded them how they live in a current evil age. And with the death of Jesus, this great act of love, he has started another timeline called the church, which is the age to come. But there's this overlap here. And we've talked about it. And this is the part that makes it so difficult for us, is because until Jesus comes back, this area in our lives is predominantly going to be known as suffering more than it's going to be joy. And I believe in Jesus so that I can suffer. Because everything we're longing for is going to come true. But the problem is that there's suffering. And what Jesus does here in Luke chapter 24 is he gives me and you what I believe is what is needed for us and plural, all of us, extending to the far reaches of our country and the other nations around the world. And it is summarized in two words. Repentance and forgiveness. Okay, this is outstanding for me. Thank you, Jesus. When I could come to you and say, God, please forgive me of my sins. Forgive me the things that I willingly did, and forgive me for the things that I didn't know that I was doing. And you know what? He forgives me every time. All right? So I get to walk in repentance and forgiveness. And it is what is helping me be a pastor to you, to be a husband to Ginger, to be a parent to Lauren and Caleb, to continue to be with the expanding part of my family. It's allowing me to be a neighbor to the neighbors that are next door to me, because if I live with you long enough, what am I going to need? How many of you have felt hurt by me? And we've had to deal with it. And if we don't come to each other with repentance and forgiveness, then there's a brokenness between us. And so you can go back to the way that the law and the prophets and the Psalms were written, and we can go back and see, even this week, as the people of Israel are celebrating Passover, and they're looking at their story of Exodus out of Egypt, there's this idea that God has forgiven and delivered and brought them out. And we are in a situation where we get a chance to live in forgiveness and to be brought out. And so as we look at Luke chapter 24, we are finding, like we talked about last week, if we allow Jesus to walk with us through the scriptures, do not go to the Old Testament without taking Jesus with you. All right, take Jesus with you, hear his voice, know him in the breaking of the bread, which is the Lord's table, all right? And then we will find our way to live, which the way to live is repentance and forgiveness. And church, can I tell you this? This is not just for your personal salvation. Jesus gave us the antidote to heal Baltimore. Jesus gave us the antidote to heal all that's ailing our nation. This would settle the war in Russia and Ukraine. This would settle the war in Israel and Palestine right now. If we learn that no matter when you get two human beings in the room, there is not one person that is right and one person that is wrong, because we're constantly hurting each other. Okay? And so Jesus is saying, in my act of loving and forgiving you of your sins, I am now making you my agent in the world so that you can continue to perpetuate my message to other people so that the world can be healed. Because when we get to the end, when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up shop, judgment's going to come, and the only thing that's going to be left are people that have walked in repentance and forgiveness. And we're going to get a chance to look at one another in the face and know that we're never going to harm each other ever again. That's the hope that we have. But the problem is that anytime we suffer, we lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of the picture that somebody just harmed me, and I'm now in pain. So Jesus's antidote is repentance and forgiveness. So I'm living. Now listen, this is a 15-minute sermon on something that we need to spend like 5 or 6 weeks on. All right? So I want you to hear me. This is complicated at times, but yet at its core can be simplified. We are fighting against a belief that is taught to us by the world. So Jesus' disciples in Luke 24 had been with Jesus for 3 years, and they still were struggling with the thinking that they had been indoctrinated with. And you and I, if we're not careful, if we think that we're thinking properly, we're in real trouble. We have got to allow the work of the Holy Spirit to be continuous and daily in us with this spirit of, do I really see clearly? Am I really thinking properly? Because if my response to suffering isn't repentance and forgiveness, most likely I'm not thinking properly. And some of us have experienced trauma by people who have made a choice, and their choice has harmed you. We see that in the medical community. That's why physicians, they carry great amounts of insurance, because it is a medical practice, not medical certainty. And so they will come in thinking they're doing good, but yet it doesn't always turn out that way. And a family leaves the hospital grieving. And so how do we get through that? How do we get through the fact when we come into a room where there's people of different skin colors and we're still struggling with the fact that people that once looked like me did a lot of harm? And so we're trying to figure out, well, what does that mean for us today? And we'll never find it unless you and I learn to walk in repentance and forgiveness. And so Jesus is not only telling them, let me straighten out your thinking. He's telling them, I am going to give you the antidote to suffer until I come back. I'm going to help you to see what you have to focus on, so that you personally can experience my love and forgiveness, but that you can be a messenger of love and forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, as we get ready to transition to a bigger meal and not just this Lord's Supper table, but Lord, we want to know you in the breaking of bread and we want to know you in the cup. This isn't just religious ceremony. It is theology in a fire hose. Father, we need to understand that our bodies being forgiven invite us into a practice that's like Christ, where our bodies are given for the sake of others. Father, we want to be a repentance and forgiveness people. But Father, we have been so blinded by this world. We are so quick to want to retaliate. And so, God, I pray that we would be like you met the disciples, peace be with you, people. Father, that you and I and our church family, when we step into communities around us, we bring peace because you've given us the antidote to sin, which is repentance and forgiveness. We want to see your kingdom come and be fully established here. So, Father, help us to daily join you in the breaking of bread and offering the forgiveness of sins that came through the shedding of your blood. And, Father, for those in here today that are not yet sure that they believe in Jesus, Father, would there be a burning in them like Cleopas and Mary, where they just know they were with Jesus? And would they too confess that Jesus is Lord? And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.